Thanks everyone for coming out this Sunday afternoon. Spanish for Utah. Thanks to those that download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. We invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback by emailing us at utahchristianas@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristianas.org. I'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class, become members. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Before we start, I'd like to share a joke with you. It's related to the topic in kind of a left-handed way. A frocked Catholic priest appeared at the pearly gates. Gabriel asked him his name, Father Ryan from St. Patrick's Parish in Brooklyn. Gabriel looked in the book. He said, Father Ryan, we have a two-bedroom bungalow on Maple Street. The angel will show you the way. As Father Ryan was walking, couldn't help but notice that the fellow that came after him was wearing a very loud Bermuda shirt, check shorts in total conflict with his shirt, bad taste, black socks, dress shoes, had a New York Yankees baseball cap on, a big mustache, introduced himself as Ben Coe, taxi driver. Gabriel looks in the Book of Life, and he says, Mr. Cohen, we have a 10-bedroom mansion for you on Cloudview Way. So Father Ryan says, excuse me, but I couldn't help but overhearing that. Why is it, after preaching every Sunday a sermon on God's holy word for 35 years in the cathedral, I only get a modest 2-bedroom bungalow, and this Jewish taxi driver gets a mansion? Gabriel says, Father, up here we judge by results. When you would preach, people would fall asleep. When he would drive his taxi, people would pray. Our topic today is special connections. Do you know people who struggle to make things happen? Play up to the boss, the teacher, the coach, the politician, hoping they'll get favors in return, some crumbs from the table. They believe their destiny is in the hands of other people, and they're always stressed out trying to please other people. Some of the terms that we use in this connection: ingratiate yourself, suck up, butter up, pander to, keep in with, curry favor, brown nose, kiss someone's rear end, fawn on, lick someone's boots, and worm your way into someone's favor. In a recent article in Business Weekly magazine, Zach Skye gives 5 reasons why sucking up is stupid. 1, it makes you look insincere. 2, nobody likes a suck up or trusts them. 3, a manager who encourages suck ups is not a good manager. 4, a good manager is all about honesty. And 5, people don't make friends with a suck up. He concludes the article by saying, it's time to stop being a suck up and start being honest in your life. Our message today is that if you will stay in faith and be a person of excellence, Krishna, which is our name for God, will always bring the right people into your life. Just as He has put the dreams that you need in your heart, He's already lined up the people that you need to bring those dreams to pass. Krishna knows who you need to know. He knows who your future spouse is going to be. He knows who will open up a door, create an opportunity for you, even 10 years down the road. You don't have to struggle to make things happen. All you have to do is stay in faith. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you'll simply keep being your best, day in and day out, Krishna will give you special connections. Eko Bhagavana Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bish. As a spirit soul who has been transmigrating from lower planet to higher planet throughout the various species of life for countless past incarnations, the scriptural statement is that when one becomes serious about searching after God, then God will send him a guru, a spiritual mentor, to light up the pathway. I went to India in 1969 looking for a guru, a spiritual leader, a spiritual guide. Struck out totally, did not make the connection that I had hoped to make in India. I left India and quite cynically went to Australia, got a job on a construction site just with the idea of making money so that then I could finance travels to somewhere really interesting. The last place I expected to make my special connection was Australia. I didn't go there for that purpose. I didn't expect it. And yet, one evening in January of 1970, as I was being spewed out of the subway in Wynyard Station, downtown George Street, a little flash of color caught my eye. I turned, and there was an American dressed in a kurta, dressed in a dhoti, with tilak on his forehead, handing out a Back to Godhead magazine. In the place that I would have least expected it, Krishna sent my special connection. We don't have to force the issue. Too often we try to make things happen on our own strength. Real freedom comes when you realize that Krishna already wants you to have special people in your life. You don't have to play up to anyone or try to get them to like you. You don't have to worry because you haven't met the person of your dreams yet. You don't have to live frustrated because you don't have all the connections that you need right now. This is a poem that I like. Serene, I fold my arms and wait, nor care for wind or tide, nor see. I rave no more against time or fate, for lo, my own shall come to me. I stay my haste, I make delays, for what avails this eager pace? I stand amidst the eternal ways, and what is mine will know my face. Asleep or wake, by night or day, the friends I seek are seeking me. No wind can drive my ship astray, nor change the tide of destiny. What matter if I stand alone? I wait with joy the coming years. My heart shall reap where it has sown and garner up its fruit of tears. The waters know their own and draw the brook that springs in yonder heights. So flows the good with equal law upon the soul of pure delight. The stars come nightly to the sky. Wave comes to the sea. Nor time, nor space, nor deep, nor high can keep my own away from me. Quit trying to make things happen. When you stay in faith, Krishna will give you the desires of your heart. Look back on your life and reflect that not one time did you have to manipulate, suck up in order to get what you wanted. It fell into place. Click. It is said here, association of saintly persons alone can bring the eternal peace and everlasting happiness and carry us across the ocean of birth, death, old age, and disease. How do you know that you've made a special connection with someone? There are various indicators. One is the person up-levels your purpose or assignment. Have you ever had a conversation with a person who is able to grab hold of your vision, whether it be in business or ministry or personal, and take your thinking to a new level of God consciousness, adding life and spark to it? It could be through a new idea, an expansion of your own idea, or a new dimension to your vision that will resonate in your spirit. The second is the person will encourage you. They'll motivate you, and they simply will not allow you to quit. These people are genuinely excited about what Krishna is doing in your life. Their hearts are connected simpatico with yours. These people will reach out to you and offer encouragement at just the right moments. And third, the person actively seeks opportunities to connect you to resources you need in order to facilitate progress with your purpose or assignment. These people are not about, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. No, they give from their hearts and they're willing to help even when there's no immediate payback for them because they are Kingdom of God minded and responsive to the guidance of the super soul within the heart. And fourth and lastly, whenever you're with this person, you sense the presence of God or Lord Krishna in the midst of your gatherings. Your conversations are divinely inspired. They are anointed conversations about life, ministry, family, business. There are some people whose mere presence activates or ignites you. You're more creative. You're more inspired. You're more on fire for the kingdom. Story goes that during the years when diamonds were first being discovered in Africa, a farmer was intrigued by the promise of great wealth. Only one thing stood in his way. His farm had to be sold before he could set off in search of the diamonds that would make him a wealthy man. Last, a deal was done and he was free to pursue the diamonds. The search was long and painful, trekking mile after weary mile across deserts and plains, through jungles and mountain passes. The farmer searched for the elusive diamonds, but none could be found. Finally, penniless, sick, utterly depressed, he took his life by throwing himself into a raging river. Back home, the man who had bought the farm carefully tilled the land. One day, as he was planting a crop, he came across a strange-looking stone. Carrying it to the farmhouse, he placed it on the mantel. A visitor to the farmer's home saw the unusual stone over the fireplace, examined it, and turned to the new owner of the farm, said, "You have found one of the largest diamonds ever known to man." Further investigation revealed that the entire farm was literally covered with similar magnificent stones. The farm, sold by the first farmer, turned out to be one of the richest, most productive diamond mines in the world. You see, just like that farmer, too few of us take the time to investigate and polish what we already have. In our disappointment with the way things are, in our quest to get ahead, we fail to recognize the wealth in our own backyard. And we end up walking over untold riches every single day. Here's what I've learned. We often overlook, sometimes take for granted, the people in our lives who are already special connections and go chasing after strangers who we think will promote us. A big part of meeting the right people may be reacquainting yourself with the good people that you already know. It's all about initiating friendly reactions instead of waiting for others to make the first move. It may sound overly simplistic, but taking the initiative and reaching out to relationships is almost always appreciated. The return on your investment for the short amount of time it takes to send some emails and texts is huge. Reaching out to touch people who have impressed you in the past will lead you to healthier relationships. Don't be surprised if you end up by asking yourself, "Why didn't I do this sooner?" Life is too short to waste in relationships with people who only care about themselves. It may be impressive to be seen in their company, but you have to go below the surface and see what that small, quiet voice in your heart is telling you. We can pray, "Lord, let me recognize the right people in my life and weed out the wrong people." In fact, that second is more important than the first. Why? Because until the wrong people are out, the right people are not going to show up. Phil Helma said, quote, "I think we're all in the right place at the right time almost every day. It's the people who live with expectation who can take advantage of being in the right time and the right place." How do they do that? It was Goethe who said, "Any time that you take the first step in trying to achieve something God-centered in your life, all manner of good things will mysteriously fall into your path to help speed you along the way." Association is like a mirror. We become like the people with whom we associate. Think carefully about the friends that you're closest to and spend the most time with in your social life, at work, within your family. Do you respect and admire these people? Do you want to be more like them? If not, my suggestion is to stop giving up parts of your better self in their company. You're creating a piece of your future self every time you choose to spend time with an uplifting person or a slacker, with a friend who has integrity and honesty or a dishonest person. We read about the great saint in our tradition, Vilva Mangala Thakur. He was attached to a prostitute named Chintamani. He went to her one stormy night, risked his life to arrive at her door in a pounding rain with lightning. Krishna was the last thing on his mind. In going to her door, he was running away from Krishna, running away from his family, from his pious background, what his parents had taught him, running as far and as fast as he could with his mind only on sin, fornication, and adultery. Imagine his shock when she began preaching to him about Krishna consciousness. She said, "You took all this energy and time and risked your life to enjoy a few moments with my body, which is a bag of skin and bones and pus and blood covered with hairs. If you had taken half that energy, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, you would already be Krishna conscious. The prostitute changed his life. He became one of the greatest saints in our tradition. His special connection was a prostitute. Don't think that anybody in your life is insignificant. Krishna uses everyone, no matter what their profession, their economic status, the color of their skin, their gender, could be the clerk at the grocery store, could be the doorman, could be the taxi driver, could be the bat boy. Now, there may be whole seasons in your life where you can't seem to get on track, can't seem to reach the right people, doors slam in your face, some relationships can't get off the ground, other relationships break up, you get passed over for promotions, people who celebrated and supported you move to another city. Now, don't get discouraged. Those are personal growth seasons. Those seasons grow you and mature you. And when they pass, as they inevitably do, you'll have successful teaching seasons. In a successful teaching season, everything falls into place. Everything goes your right way. The right people move into your path. The personal growth season benefits you. The successful teaching season benefits others. It's all good. If you want Krishna to send you in your life special connections, you have to be willing to be a special connection for others. You have to be willing to show people that you care, to take some time for them, to put in a good word for someone. Sow a seed and be a divine connection. Pay attention to the people around you. Live with the attitude, who can I bless today? Who can I encourage? Where is there a need today? Focus on how you can be a special connection to others. Do you have a skill that could assist them through their current situation? Do you know someone that they should meet? Do you have information that could benefit them? Some time ago, I was enjoying a rare leisure moment with another devotee in the dining area downstairs. I started confessing to him that Vi and I are getting older. We're less and less able as the years go by to do all the physical work around here for property upkeep, landscaping, animal care, buffet, festival coordination. We had hope for younger generations of Hare Krishna devotees to step up here in Utah, but they seem to be otherwise engaged in Florida, California. Really hasn't happened. Venting this frustration, the more I talked, in the back of the mind, the more I started feeling guilty, thinking about all the things that I had to do that weren't getting done while I was sitting talking to this devotee. So I was about to get back up and throw myself into the grind when he casually commented to me, "Have you ever heard about woofers?" I'm like, "Say what? Woofers? Like people that bark?" "No, dummy. Worldwide Opportunity for Organic Farming. This is a web-based international organization which offers host farms and young people, mostly with college degrees, to work in a local area for 4 hours a day, 6 days a week in exchange for room and board. And most of these young people, they just want to take a little time off before they get stuck into a career and 20 years of marriage and raising kids. So that was 5 years ago and 200 volunteers ago. It's not a permanent solution to our problem, but it's got us to where we are today, and we're going strong. And we have, as woofers in the audience today, Victor, we have Nicole, we have Andrew, and anybody else I'm missing? Oh, you're a woofer?
Yeah.
Robert? Oh, okay, you just arrived. I didn't even know he just arrived today. Here it is said, one can attain the path of liberation from material bondage only by rendering service to highly advanced spiritual personalities. The Mahatmas, or great souls, are very peaceful and fully engaged in God-centered activities, devoid of selfishness, working for the benefit of everyone. They do not behave in any abominable way. The human body is like a junction. One may either take the path of liberation or the path leading to a hellish condition. On the path of liberation, one associates with great souls, mahatmas. And on the path of bondage, one associates with those attached to wine and women. Here's the story about how our spiritual master made his special connection with his spiritual master. This is in 1922 in Calcutta. A close friend of Srila Prabhupada, Narendranath Mulik, insisted that he come and meet a sadhu from Mayapur. Initially, Srila Prabhupada was reluctant to go. There were many bogus sadhus, and Srila Prabhupada had had very bad experiences with them. But his friend insisted. Together, they entered the ashram where, sitting with his back very straight, they found Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, a studious-looking man wearing sannyasi robes and small round spectacles. Srila Prabhupada, as was the custom, bowed down on the floor before him. While the two men were still rising and preparing to sit, and before any introduction had occurred, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta immediately said to them, "You are educated young men. Why don't you preach the message of Krishna in the Western English-speaking countries?" Srila Prabhupada could hardly believe what he had just heard. They had not even had introductions. They had not exchanged any words. Yet this Swami was telling him what he should spend his whole life doing. Prabhupada responded, "But who will hear your message so long as we are a dependent country? First, India must become free of the British. Then we can spread our Indian culture." Srila Bhaktisiddhanta defeated his argument in a quiet, deep voice. The message of Krishna cannot wait for a change in Indian politics. It is not dependent on who's ruling. The teachings of Bhagavad Gita are so important, so exclusively important, that it cannot wait. Walking away from this initial meeting, Narendranath asked Abhay, which was his name, "What is your impression? What do you think of this Swami?" Srila Prabhupada replied, "The message of Bhagavad Gita is in the hands of a very, very expert person." Srila Prabhupada accepted Bhaktisiddhanta Goswami as his spiritual master immediately, and in 1933 took formal initiation from him. The rest, I believe, is the greatest chapter of spiritual history in the last 2,000 years. Today there are 820 Hare Krishna temples worldwide, and this summer playing in major theaters all over North America and Europe is a movie called Hare Krishna, the Mantra, the Movement, and the Swami who started it all. Our encouragement today is believe that God is in control. No matter what you've been through, Lord Krishna has the right people for the right time, whether you need a spouse or a friend or a sponsor. All you have to do is start believing. Don't be afraid to take the initiative. Tell people if you admire them. Let them know you want what they have. Humility, clarity, creativity, insight, integrity, and peace. Thank Him not only that He is going to cause you to be at the right place at the right time, but that He is going to embolden you enough to take full advantage of that encounter. No doubt, every one of you can look back over your life and see connections that had to be the hand of God. If Krishna did it for you in the past, then He will do it for you in the future. He's already got the people lined up. Stay in faith, get up every morning, and thank Him for special connections. Don't try to force things. Trust Him to bring the right people at the right times. If you'll do your part, I know that you're going to live the life of victory that He has in store for you in this life, and in the next life, go back home, back to Godhead. Thanks very much for your kind attention. If you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. We're going to practice a little bit of what we preach. So we're going to chant for a few minutes. And we invite you to rise and stretch. And if you'd be so kind as help us move the rugs over to the side so we can move around more freely while we chant.